Cooper. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3. Pastor called me today and asked me to do the lesson tonight. I guess they're still there. Good to have Julian back, right? Said he might have got some bad water in the gas or something like that. So, yeah, and I asked him where he spent the night, and he said on the side of the road. Now, that's a scary thought, especially in Louisiana, right? I mean, at least if you're in Texas, you can call that 800 number on the back of your driver's license, you know. But I don't think it works in Louisiana, though. But anyway, glad you're back. Just trust that, you know, nothing seriously is wrong with your car. I know you want to have a car. Well, I've been thinking about some of these verses. I've been thinking about a little more prophecy here lately for some reason. I don't know why. Thought about in my Sunday school class maybe taking a little detour from Ecclesiastes and doing some of these lessons toward the latter half. I mean, in this particular section here, let's just read these verses. In verse 1, 2, and 3, I've been thinking about these things. I haven't really got to study and pray about it like I really wanted to. 1, 2, and 3 actually kind of go together, but I think we're probably just going to go through verses 1 and 2. Today, but here's what the Bible says. And I saw, John, he saw a lot of things he didn't see, a lot of things he didn't know, and a lot of things the Lord said he did not reveal unto him. But here's something that he did see, okay? He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this is something I know a lot of people don't agree with me on, and some good people and some people I love that don't necessarily agree with me, but I believe there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Because the old heaven and the old earth pass away. Now, there's some that believe that there's going to be, that God is just going to restore this earth and this heaven. I don't believe that's the way it's going to be. We know, too, after the second coming, his foot touches down on the Mount of Olives and the Mount of Olives cleaves. So there's going to be a lot of restoration that takes place during the thousand-year reign. But this is something entirely different. This is after all of that is all over. And so John, he says, I see this new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. To me, that's pretty cut. That's pretty clear to me. You know, they pass away. And, oh, here's one for all you beach lovers. Look at that next line. There's no more. I mean, all of y'all is going to go down to the Gulf of America this summer, you know, and lay out on the beach. You know, there's not going to be any such thing. I don't know why anybody in the world want to go swim in an ocean anyway, because everything in the ocean bites or stings, I mean, they got shark attacks and things like that. And we got back from Hawaii not too long ago. What's that big beach that they had shark attacks that we went to? Huh? What was it?
North Shore.
Yeah, whatever that is. I thought it was something different with the tall trees, and I took y'all's picture. Anyway, there were shark attacks. Well, I didn't feel too bad with what we were swimming in because we had a little bit of a lagoon, you know, so there's this like this barrier-type reef, you know, and if anything was coming at you, you had plenty of time to get out of the water, But, again, everything bites and stings. I don't know why you'd want to catch fish out of the Gulf of America, you know, because it's, when you catch these fish, they have teeth also. I wonder how they swallow that thing and you hook them. Anyway. These are the things I think about, okay? But the Bible says here, there is no more sea, you know? So, I mean, reckon what that means. I just think there's no more sea, you know? It's going to all be land is the way I look at it, okay? And then the Bible says, and I, John, saw the holy city. So here we have we have the new heaven, and then we have the new Jerusalem. Now, the new Jerusalem is something that God is creating right now. The new Jerusalem is where I personally believe all of our mansions are, all right? And this is going to come down out of the sky. I don't know that the new Jerusalem ever really even touches down, okay? But there's going to be a new Jerusalem, and then there's going to be a new tabernacle. And this is the part I didn't get to. Wish I could have put some more thought into it, all right? But anyway, we've been talking about some of these things in my Sunday school class. And, you know, one of the things we're trying to decide, Brother Odom, he usually sits over here, we're trying to decide if there's going to be any fishing in heaven, okay? And we've decided there is going to be fishing. I mean, we know that the Lord ate fish in his glorified body, correct? So I don't know. You got to wonder what the menu is going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, that is going to be a great menu, is it not? But we was thinking about that, and we know there's going to be, are you ready for this? Horses. There are going to be flying horses. Okay? You ever thought about that? Now, we kind of kicked this around in Sunday school a little bit. I wonder if they're going to have wings or if they're just going to fly. Now, think about it. Put your thinking cap on, Colin, okay? Why would there be no need for corrals in heaven? Because the horses fly. They just fly right out of it, right? You know, and I mean, you say, well, maybe put them in a barn. Well, what would happen, Steve, if you put a flying horse in a barn? You know, if you put a flying horse in a barn, he may kick a hole in the roof. You know, you just never know. Isn't it crazy? You think about these things, but, you know, there's going to be flying horses. That's something I'm thankful for. And, by the way, Kyle, while we're on the subject, you know, mansion over the hilltop, would you do me a favor? Change that to horse and a crown instead of harp and a crown. You know, somehow I just can't see Mike West with a harp and a crown, okay? But now, and two, I mean, horses are scriptural, okay? But what would you rather have, a harp and a crown or a horse and a crown? A flying horse and a crown, okay? What would you rather have, you know? So would you do that for me, Kyle? And I'll get with Jeremy and tell him to change it. I've tried to get him to say it anyway, but, I mean, it's scriptural, right? I'm not asking you to do anything unscriptural, you know? But, yeah, flying horses, that's going to be a blessing, is it not? But, again... For all you beach lovers, no more sea, okay? The Pacific Ocean is beautiful, is it not? I mean, we saw the sunset going over it, you know, going over some mountains, you know, and, I mean, just beautiful colored water and things. We got some good pictures of Debbie and Lila and some of them, and, I mean, it just looks like a picture book. I mean, it's beautiful, all right? But there's not going to be any more Pacific Ocean in the New Jerusalem and in the New Earth, all right? So, now, and it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Here it is, coming down from God. Now, Jesus did say, I go to prepare a place for you, right? Well, he's preparing the New Jerusalem right now, and he's preparing our mansions also, correct? And so I think that's where all of the mansions are going to be. And coming down out of from God, out of heaven, prepared. Now, this is interesting wording, as a bride adorned for. It's going to be beautiful, is it not? And so this is something that we can think about. And then I didn't get to this part. We're going to kind of divide up, you know, verses 1 and 2. But he also, we're going to see the new tabernacle. Now, what we're talking about here is the presence of God. I mean, sometimes I don't feel the presence of God, you know it? Sometimes I just feel like I'm a little separated, or maybe I haven't got my life right. Not going to be any more sin at this particular time, right? There is going to be sin in the millennium. You know, he's going to judge with the breath of his lips, you know. But anyway, it says the tabernacle of God, which is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. So there's God's presence. Didn't really make it that far. But anyway, we'll just take a look at some of this. I'll give you a little bit of an introduction. I guess in the context of this, it may run down all the way through about verse 8, but I wish I could have done verse 3 for you also, but we'll get through the first couple of verses, God willing, okay? I wonder sometimes what eternity is going to be like. I don't know if you're like me, but we can't imagine what it's going to be like. Whatever however wonderful we think it's going to be, it's even going to be more wonderful, right? But this chapter of Revelation, it tells us a little bit about it and how it's going to be in eternity. I mean, we know things like, it goes without saying, all the bad, you know, all the negative things are going to be destroyed, all the ungodliness, all the evil, the sermons on the no more sickness, no more tinnitus. I had a jury summons on Monday. I got out of it. And I would never lie to a judge. I would not, okay? I mean, that's perjury for one thing. That make you raise your hand before you ever go over. You better not lie to that judge. She probably just put you in jail, you know. Oh, well, anyway, I won't go there. But anyway, yeah, okay, I can't go there. Okay, but anyway, they line up. And I tell you what, when she tried to call everybody up, about half of the room got up, you know, and I thought, oh, I just sat in my seat till it got down to the end. But anyway, I just went up there and I said, ma'am, and I told her the truth. I said, look, I'm just hard of hearing, okay? I've lost my high tones, my low tones, depending on the pitch of somebody's voice. I absolutely may not hear them, okay? And besides that, I got tinnitus, and I got to hear through the ringing. She says, were you in the military? I said, no, it was oil field. Oil field is what messed my hearing up. And so she gave me an affidavit where I could, get out of it in the future. But I didn't think, I mean, I'm 72. I shouldn't be having to do jury duty, right? Did they change the law? Or it's always been 75? Okay, so, but anyway, I don't know why I even went there, there's going to be no more tinnitus. That's the one thing I'm looking forward to, waking up in heaven and all of a sudden my ears not be ringing anymore. And I'm going to have perfect hearing. So these days are coming, all the ungodliness, all the evil, all the suffering, all the disease, all of the things, all of the pain, it's going to be no more, and all the corruption and death, it's all going to be erased, right? And then we're going to have a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, right? And we're talking about the first and the second heavens are all going to be brand new, right? God don't have to do anything with the third heaven. That's where he lives. It's already perfect, right? But anyway, the day's coming when there's going to be no more impure government. Praise the Lord. I don't guess there's no more budgets either, right? In heaven, not going to need a budget, correct? And no more corrupt religion, bad leaders, painful suffering, nothing like that, all right? Sin and temptation. And God is going to make I read it just like it is. Really the Bible, even the book of Revelation, is not that hard to understand if you just read it like you would any other book. It's not that hard to understand. I mean, look at it. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I mean, how hard is that? That's not hard at all, right? You should take the Bible literally if at all possible, all right? Now, some people try to turn it into a bunch of allegories. And by the way, there are some allegories in the Word of God, but it's really clear, like Herod, that old fox. Well, we know Herod's not an old fox, right? That's obviously an allegory, but this is just literal. We should take the Bible literally. So God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to make all things new. There's not going to be any more tears, right? I wake up in the middle of the night, my eyes just get dry. I don't know what it is, and I just, I have to get up and put some drops in it, take a drink of water and things like that. I guess I'm just getting old, my brother, okay? I'm just kind of drying up. It'd probably help if I drink a little more water. I know I'm not drinking enough water. No more sorrow. No more crying, pain, or death, okay? These are the subjects that we're looking at. So look, let's break this up just a little bit. And again, I wish I'd have had more time to study, and I wish I'd have had more time to pray about some of this. But God knew I was going to be here tonight, right? So here it is. And I hope you get a blessing out of this. I don't want to take just a real long time, but I mean, we've already talked about some of this. We see in verse 1, we see that the heaven, the heavenly bodies, that's in outer space, I mean, that is the second heaven. I heard where one of they call it Rocket X, blew up. Did y'all read that, about that? One of Elon Musk's rockets blew up again. But they said they learned something from it, going up into the second heaven, right? That's what he's trying to do. Well, that's going to all be new, right? All the heavens above, the sun, the moon, and the stars, they're all going to be brand new. Not going to have to worry about any sunburn, during that particular time. But the sun, moon, and the stars are all going to be destroyed and remade, and God's going to make this new heaven. Now, think what this will mean just for a minute, all right? There's going to be no more. When the pastor called me, I understand, Miss Christie, that, he said he was driving through. Were you in that storm too, Julian? I don't remember, but the pastor said he was driving through a bad storm as he was texting me, and I saw those thunderheads this morning. Did you see them? Back off in the east, and so he had to drive through. Not going to be any more of that. There's not going to be any more violent thunderstorms. There's not going to be any more. I guess they call them typhoons in the Pacific, right? Not going to be any more hurricanes. For us, it's going to tear things up. Hurricane Carla, she did a lot of damage, right? Hurricane Alicia. My wife and I were in the eye of that hurricane. That hurricane went right over the middle of Alvin when we was living in Alvin, Texas. I think it was Pearland, wasn't it? And I got out and I drove around in that eye. It was weird. The trees were all blowing one way, one direction. And then when the eye goes over, and then they're blowing all the way the other direction. And you just knew that big old oak tree was going to break break in two, right? But not going to be any more, though. No more, I'm going up into the Indian nations here before long, right? Brother McNair, he's not in here with the young people, right? But we're going to go up there and Tornado Alley. You know, not going to be any tornadoes. No more tornadoes, right? Thunderstorms, hurricanes, destructive rains and things like that. And we get a little concerned about that out on the farm. You know, we get these strong winds through there. We're afraid. Those oak trees where we're at, those live oaks, they don't just break open. They just kind of lay over, you know, until they hit something, you know, like a big old limb, and then they grow like that. Some of y'all might have seen some of Colin's pictures, you know, his graduation pictures. He was on some of those old live oaks out there, and they had blown down. And I'm afraid there's one in particular that's going to blow on my roof someday. You know, I hope not, you know, but no more violence, no more stars or solar systems, you know, that's going to be burned out. I can't imagine what it's going to be like, but I know it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be, the heavens even now declare the glory of God, right? I mean, you go out in those stars and you look at all the stars, it's beautiful. But the Bible said there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So I think about some of these things, you know, the heavens above, they're going to be remade. They're going to be created anew. They're going to be made alive, right? And all things within the universe, they'll be alive. They'll all, just like this second heaven, it's going to reflect the glory of God. You'll look up into that and you'll see the glory of God. All of these, it's going to reflect the glory of God himself. And the universe will be a place where nothing burns out or wears out. You know, the heavenly bodies in the outer space, the earth as we know it, it's all going to pass away. But then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But I want you to note one significant point before we move on. Still talking about verse 1, okay? The scripture declares emphatically that the heaven is to be remade and recreated into a new heaven. I think we're clear on that, right? There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So we're going to have the old heaven and the old earth are going to pass away. The earth is going to pass away. There's going to be a new earth. The present earth, I think y'all would agree with me, is defective. I was cutting up little limbs out. It was one of the trees that fell down out there. I got mixed emotions about limbs and trees falling down because I go out there and cut it up into firewood, you know, and I remember that real hard freeze that we had, and we burned up most of our firewood, you know, but I've kind of got it all stocked back up right now. But long story short, I should have been wearing my gloves. I reached down there and I grabbed this one limb out, and a scorpion got me. It was one of those, they call them bark scorpions. You know what I'm talking about? They got those two lines down their back. They are wicked looking, you know. And so, if you're out there hauling firewood out on the farm, wear gloves, all right? He might have even got me through those leather gloves. I don't know. But anyway, not going to be any, no more scorpions, right? If they are, they're not going to sting you, right? There's going to be, I don't know if they're going to be lions. There's going to be flying horses, though. I do know that, right? The present earth is defective, and I think you would all agree with me that it is cursed. There's a curse on it. Scorpions, that's a part of that. Snakes, I get concerned even about rattlesnakes now because I can't hear the rattle, But you can't, we got copperheads out there where we're at also, you know. I have more respect for a rattlesnake than I do a copperhead. Why would I say that? At least a rattlesnake will warn you, you know. And really, if you just stop where you're at with the rattlesnake, I don't know if y'all want to test this theory or not, okay? He won't strike as long as you start moving back a little bit, okay? Copperheads, they're something else. There's some snakes that'll chase you. You know what? What is that? I don't know, some of those. Some bad snakes, right? But look, this present earth that suffers under all kinds of natural disasters, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, I mean, we could name all kinds of things, right? Famines, diseases, and they say they got another strain of COVID coming out. Did you hear about that? Yeah, I'm not going to wear a mask, okay? I'm sorry. But anyway, but the day's coming when there's not going to be any more COVID. There's not going to be any more flu. There's not going to be any more diseases. It's coming. God's going to remake it. He's going to create a new earth. And I want you to think about what this would mean, okay? No more disasters or destructions. No more thorns, thistles. Unfertile, unproductive soil, no more hunger or thirst, no more disease, decay, erosion or death, no more. Not going to be any more of that. So the new earth will flourish. and it will be fruitful, bearing all kinds of good. Man, I am no good with gardens. I mean, I wish I was like Ron here, you know. I mean, he's got a, what do you call it, a green thumb? And I wish I could grow stuff like that. My watermelons didn't do too good last year, did they? They were deformed. They weren't even kind of round, you know. I just don't have any luck like that. Okra, now that stuff will grow anywhere. Usually you have pretty good luck with how's y'all's garden doing? I mean, Lila, I mean, anytime those little beans get about this long, she goes out there and picks them. I don't know. She might have let them get a little longer, right? I don't know. But everything's going to be peaceful and serene. It's going to be beautiful, green, lush, productive, all of this, you know. Now, I want you to note the interesting statement again that there is no more seed. The seed that causes devastation, think about it like this. Destruction is going to be destroyed right along with the earth and with the heavens. Which brings us up to number two. All right, so I saw the new heaven and the new earth. Now let's talk about the new Jerusalem. I was thinking about this. I don't know what my mansion is going to be like, but I think about it. It's going to be nice, right? I don't put too much stock in, my dwellings even right here. There's going to be no more taxes, right? Have you think about that? No more taxes on Social Security. I think we're trying to get there even before then, right? I don't know if that's going to work or not. That would be cool. That would lower my taxes about $3,000 a year. If there's no more taxes on Social Security, that would be cool, right? But again, the Bible says in verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. So, right, I think even as we speak, he is preparing a place. He's preparing his city. It's going to be his city. It's going to be new Jerusalem. Now, I believe during the 1,000-year reign, Christ is going to be ruling from Jerusalem. The present Jerusalem, his foot touching down on the Mount of Olives, he's going to be reigning from right. This is going to be a new Jerusalem. And again, if you can visualize this thing, and we're going to see all this, y'all, those of us that are saved, it's going to come, I don't know if he's got little jets on it or what, but it's going to come down, you know. I don't think it's ever going to touch down, you know, but it's going to be cool, you know, when we see this. I want you to note that this city, and you can just read this verse right here, all right? Note that the city comes down out of heaven. It is not constructed here on earth. God has built it in heaven, and then he moves it to the earth. Cool. The new earth, I might add, okay? You know, and I want you to note also that it said it is going to be beautifully prepared as a bride is for her husband. Nothing more beautiful than a beautiful bride, right? It's so much joy, you know, during those times, and they're beautiful. But God's presence in this new Jerusalem, God's presence is never going to be dulled again. You know, we could fast go up to verse 3, you know, where it talks about the new tabernacle. That's talking about the presence of God right there, you know, but his presence will never again be dulled or removed from the presence of his people. We're going to have perfect communication with our Lord and Savior. Now, the Bible says toward the latter part, matter of fact, it's one of the last things he says at the end of Revelation, says we're going to rule and reign with him forever and ever, right? Now, I just got to believe, I mean, this is, whose New Jerusalem is this? This is God's, right? This is where I think we're going to be reporting. You say, Brother King, reckon what we're going to be doing there? I don't know, but we're going to be doing something, you know. I even wonder about what we're even going to be busy during the 1,000-year reign, things going on. I don't know if we're going to be living. I don't know if I'm going to be living in Atascosa County at that time, right then. Maybe God will make me a ruler over Atascosa County. I don't know. You know, I could probably think of a few other. Well, I won't go there either. But God's presence. You know, Miss Christie, I told myself when he asked me to preach, I'm going to try my best not to embarrass the preacher tonight. I'm going to try my best not to say everything that comes into my head. Okay, because that's usually what. I have bit my tongue a couple of times already, right? If some of y'all want to know what I'm thinking, come to me afterwards. Maybe I'll tell you. Okay. But again, never again will God's presence ever be dulled and removed. God's presence is something that man has always longed for. Man may not know it, but even lost men may not know it, but their heart longs for the presence of God. From the day, when we're born and to the time we come up to the age of accountability, I guess you might say, there's this big hole in our heart. It's an eternal hole, and it can only be filled by an eternal God, right? And so that, you know, he may not know it, but his longing is for the heart of God. I mean, I used to have all these questions right before I got saved. It was on a Wednesday night, December 8th, 1971. I found the old Bible. I know that's for sure the date. A deacon gave me an old Scofield, and he wrote it down in there. And so I know exactly. And I had all kinds of questions. Went down front, got saved, wasn't planning on getting saved, but I didn't have any more questions after that. You know what? That hole was filled. Filled by an eternal God. He gave me the gift of what? Eternal life, right? And so he may not know it, but his longing is for the heart of God. Now, man tries to fill his longing with all sorts of worldly pleasures, but it's not going to satisfy you. And until a man allows God to fill his heart, he goes through all kinds of negative experiences. Now, I hope none of these ring a bell with y'all, but it may ring a bell maybe in times past, all right? But maybe negative experience might be a lack of purpose, meaning, and significance. You ever find yourself waking up and say, man, I'm just depressed. I mean, there's got to be more to life than this. You may even have a successful business. You may be successful at your job. You may have a lot of money. But money's not going to bring happiness, is it? These are negative experiences. Emptiness, questioning, and wondering about life. And, you know, there's some people that end up, God forbid, you know, killing themselves. Some of the popular movie stars, you know, they've done this, right? Some of y'all could name some of them. And, you know, there's more to it than this. I mean, they thought Hollywood was all where it was. God forbid, God, I mean, yeah. So anyway, routineness, dullness, feeling drained, or insecurity. I'll tell you what, the Tuesday night that I laid my head down upon my pillow, I woke up Wednesday morning, and as a matter of fact, that night I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell. That I would say that's a negative experience, wouldn't you? So I don't know who it was, I don't remember if it was my grandma or my mom, taught me into going to church. It's in Letha, Oklahoma, Trinity Baptist Church, and I got saved. Wasn't planning on it. I'll tell you what, I stood up during that invitation, had my hands on the back of that pew, hardest step I ever took in my life. Some of y'all can relate to that. And when I let go and let God, I don't remember getting to the front after that. It's just like I was there. It's like I floated down, okay? That's a positive experience, right? But no more insecurity. No more laying my head down on my pillow at night and worrying about dying and going to hell. Because God has given me the gift of eternal life. You know, when man gives his life to God, he begins to fellowship with God and to experience all the fullness of life. I tell you what, I've talked to God a lot here lately. I'm going to take what you call like a little, I don't know if you call it sabbatical or what. I say, come on, Brother King, you going to Oklahoma for 2 weeks? Is that a sabbatical? I don't know. Some people, I mean, that's where OU fans are, right? They are rabid, right? OU fans, right? And I'm supposed to meet Anthony McNair up there. They're from Shawnee. We're going to go to a place called Hamburger King. Anybody ever been telling about that monkey pie that you can buy at Hamburger King? Man, that is some good stuff. I don't know how they make it. I know it's got chocolate chip cookies and stuff like that in there. They got wonderful hamburgers. You know, we're going to meet. I'm going to introduce my brother. I'm going to say, John, this has got to be the biggest OU fan in the state of Texas right here. And then I'm sure they're going to talk about quarterbacks and all this stuff. They're supposed to have a real good quarterback right now, right? So anyway, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting season. But anyway, don't ask me why I told you that. But when a man gives his life to God, he begins to fellowship. So anyway, man will never be without the presence of the glory of God. And if I could go on to verse 3, you'd see exactly what I'm talking about right there. Because the tabernacle of God is synonymous with the presence of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, everywhere you go, God's just with you all the time. I cannot fathom that. I cannot understand that. My little old peanut brain cannot relate to that. But it's going to be a wonderful thing, is it not? Man will always experience the fellowship of God's presence and His glory. Now, I want you to note something. And I'm going to read this verse for verse, and then we're going to be gone, done, Brother David. How long did I take? I didn't take too long, right? Think about this. Let me read this, and then we're done. Talking about how strong the fellowship will be. Quote, think how wonderful it will be. We will never be without the presence and glory of God. We will be in His presence immediately and be able to talk and share with Him face to face, to fellowship and commune with Him, laugh and rejoice with Him, praise and worship Him, serve and work for Him, all face to face. God says He's going to live and dwell with us. He is going to take over the management of our lives, guiding and directing us day by day throughout all eternity. This is what eternity will be like, what the new heaven and the new earth will be like. The presence and the glory of God will be living and dwelling with us right here on earth. And I might get you all to look up, study about verse 3, talking about His presence, because that's what verse 3 does. It dovetail right into this thought. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask You to bless now the Word of God to our hearts, and we ask You to bless Brother David as he comes to do these prayer requests. Be with our dear pastor, Father, and help him to get back, get Julian's car back. Thankful, Lord, that Julian's back here with us, but help them all to get back safely, we pray in Christ's name.